The Sangha today is the 8th of January, the year 2012. We are in the meditation hall Full Moon in New Hamlet during our winter retreat. During the last Christmas, we have organized a retreat for school teacher, educator. And that retreat was very successful. Those who are in the organizing team, they drink tea together in the hut for me in Sangha Temple, and they try to look deep into what they have done during the retreat in order to share their weakness and their success. And then they recognize that there is so many wonder thing discovered during that retreat. The young Dhamma teacher gave a wonderful talk and people benefit a lot. And then it was during the new year, the last, the holidays during the end of the new year. And if we can do like that every year at the every country where we have our center, then the subject is how we apply the Buddhism into a kind of a global ethics, that we don't have to mention the word Buddhism, or the word Buddhist, but the contents of the wisdom of the Buddha, so people can make use of this wisdom in order to give more peace for their class, for their family. School teacher can have more communication with his own family, her own family, and have more communication with their own student. So the learning will be more successful. About morality, about ethics studies, we have to start by having a notion about suffering and happiness. In Buddhism also, we also start to have a notion about what means Buddhism and what means happiness. And then that is also, that is like the notion about goodness and about cruelties. Suffering is the first truth the Buddha offered to us, and the third truth offered by the Buddha, it means discovered by the Buddha, and he asked us to look deep and to observe by ourselves. Is not offering by him like we have to receive, but it means he's discovering for us to have a way out of our. So he invites us to look deep into the suffering. In Sanskrit said Nirodha, and the absence of suffering is Nirodha. And because we look at the deep into our suffering, and we see all the root, all the causes which lead us to suffering. If we look deep and we see all the causes, all the element, all the wave of behavior that lead us to that suffering. And when we look deep, and then we look deep and carefully, and we can see the unskillfulness, the lack of skillfulness, the causes, the wording, and the behavior, and then you see, look, we can look deep and we can see the root of our suffering, and it's also the root of the suffering in the world, because every suffering or every happiness is go with collective and an individual. So we have, we can see the root of all these things who lead us to that suffering, on the causes, on the element which lead us to that situation of suffering. So that the first truth, the Buddha invite us to look deep. So when you look deep into the first truth, the suffering, you can discover the second truth, is mean the cause which lead you to that suffering. So that the second. And the third one is the absence of suffering, it means happiness. So you look deep how, why you can have no suffering at all, why you have a lot of happiness. And then you look deep and you see all the element which lead you to that situation of happiness. So on the element, on the way, on the practice which lead you to happiness is the fourth noble truth. And that the Buddhism, applied Buddhism, is a practice which have the ability to transform the suffering and to lead you to happiness. And there is a very, very concrete practices which very simple, but you need to train. It look like simple, but you need to train, like how you go back to your in-breath and out-breath when you are agitated, calm yourself, look deep, and then how you can see, etc. And so you have to have, the invite, Buddha invite us like that, but ethics also invite us to that too. Ethics also invite us to see that the ground of that ethics is, and so that notion of ethics they call, the ground of ethics is we call meta ethics. So we need to have a deep look in order to clear view, and then we can reestablish a kind of practice appropriate for us. So teaching, apply Buddhism is not only can help you, do not give you like that, but you have to ask why we have to practice like that. And ethics and meta-ethics, ethics and meta-ethics help us to see the notion about suffering, or the and about suffering, about happiness, the notion about lead us to go to the ethics and non-ethics, and then the notion about thiền, goodness, and act is cruelty. So we see that everything is thiền, it's mean goodness, lead you to happiness. And those who go against the goodness, it means cruelty, is lead you to unhappiness, into suffering. And so, and you can sense that you can say that is good or not. Because sometimes you say that is good, but other people say that no, it's not good. So the criterion is, if it lead to happiness, it means a true goodness. But if like some people say that good, but it lead to suffering, and then it's not true goodness. So it's the same for also happiness. There are things that they are not suffering, but we think that it's suffering. Something is not suffering, but we thought that is suffering, and then we suffer. It's not suffering, but because you have a wrong view, and then you think that is suffering. And then you are angry, and then you complain, and you blame people. You finish people and finish yourself too. And we see that that is suffering. So he's not sure that it's suffering. Suffering or not suffering, it depends on the way you look at. So suffering, the joy, also the same. We think that it's joyful, but it's not sure that it's joyful. It may lead to something not joyful at all. It's a lot of suffering, a lot of link of suffering, a lot later on. So don't be rushed to say that that is good, that is not good, that is suffering, that is not suffering. Even when you say that san lão bệnh tử, birth, old age, sickness, and death, and everybody says that is suffering. But we are not sure. When we are born, you think that because that everybody says that there are birth, death, old age, death. And so if we say that birth is suffering, why you organize happy birthday? Old age, why you say that old age is suffering? For me, old age is very joyful. You see a little creek, a young creek, jumping from the mountain and go to the sea, and jumping like that. The creek have no peace. But when the creek arrive a long time, it become a river, a peaceful river, and the peaceful river can reflect the cloud, the moon, the everything, and that is so nice. And so the old age is like that. You are more mature. You have a lot of experience of how to avoid suffering. And so you have no worries, and you live in a very happy. And so you are so happy, being peaceful, mature, nothing. So young is not happiness. It's not sure that it's happiness. You are so energetic, and you don't know how to handle your energy, and you do many wrong things, and you regret. Yeah. And so when you are, so that is the second thing. The third thing is, people say that sickness is bad. But sickness is not truly bad. Thanks to the sicknesses, then you have, your immune system have a change to transform, and then you can overcome many difficult contamination area. And then because you have made a lot of antibody in your blood, and then your immune system is very strong, and you don't. And so tense of sickness that you are happier because your immune system is better. But you have no sickness, but you are not happy at all. You have no sickness. Why are you not happy? Because you cannot be compared with the sickness and no sickness. Like you have no toothache, that's right, and no one of you feel happy. But if one day you have a bad toothache, and then you are, those who have no toothache is so happy. And so you have to breathing in and see that I have no toothache, I must be very happy. And so that is very relative. And then tends to the deep look, and everything is look neutral, you can make it very happy. Like the death. Death is need for life. If say that nobody die, so there's no place for children to be born. And if all the cell cannot die, and then how the new cell can be born? And so when you look at birth, death, sickness, old age, is not suffering. No, don't believe it. You have to look deep, and then you decide. And yes, so in the Li dynasty in the 11th century, there is a young a nun who is very fit, very good. She said that birth, death, old age, sickness is normally is normal things. Why we have to pray so that to get out of these four things? Without these four things, how you can have life? Is a nun in the 11th century in Vietnam who said so. And then we accept them, we look deep, and we enjoy it. So suffering is a big issue to help us to an occasion to look deeper, and then you look deep and you see a number of causes bring to happiness. In the Agama Sutta, the Buddha have said, when suffering is born, when suffering are born, they are born. They don't come from the west, the east, because condition are like that, there's so many conditions come, and then it's become like that. And if these conditions do not come together, we don't have that suffering. And you will not have to go anywhere. So suffering come from different condition, and when condition are no longer there, suffering disappear. In the fourth noble truth, is the way leading to happiness. The way leading to happiness is mean the way, the way of eight correct practices. They call eightfold path. But they like to say the path of eight correct practices. And first you need to have a correct view. If you have a correct view, you will be happy right away. So you need, so you have to practice in order to have a correct view. If the correct, the view is not correct, this we call incorrect view. An incorrect view will bring you to happiness, unhappiness. An incorrect view lead you to unhappiness. But correct view bring you to happiness. One illustration that we can use to make people understand better easily is in a relationship between two persons. This person think that I am suffering because of her or of him. Him is the cause of all my suffering, or she is the cause of all my suffering. When there is a relationship and when someone suffers, we always think like that. She think that is his, he is the cause, but he think that she is the cause. So no one, if both only see that the cause is from other side, they continue to suffer forever. Even they divorce, they continue to suffer. So we have to train ourselves to see that if things happen like that, that person have done something, but you are also co-responsible of a number of things. Don't say that the other one is always is the cause of all your suffering, and you, if you look deep, you see that he or she is suffering a lot. They are suffering, and they don't know how to handle their suffering, and they spit out, they make you suffer. She or he cannot handle his or her suffering. They cannot handle their suffering and transform their suffering, and he or she is locked in her suffering, in his suffering, and because he suffer, she suffer, and then you are the victim of what he said, what he do, what she said, And when you see like that, you understand and you have pity, you have compassion on him and on her, and then you decide, oh no, he cannot get out of suffering. She cannot get out of suffering. I have to help him. I have to help her. Because you have practice. If you don't practice, you always blame that. That is fault. It's your mom fault. It's your daddy fault. It's your sister fault. It's your husband fault. And you never see that any responsibilities come from you. And if you see that, you are co-responsible of what happened. And so you do not want to condemn, you don't want to judge, you do not want to blame anything. When you have a right view is you are co-responsible. Everything is enter all. Things enter all. You don't need to do anything, you just to change your view. The view in the past is condemning, is the fault of others. And the right view is you are co-responsible. Your unskillfulness, your so on. And then that is right view is the meta-ethics. In order to, you lean on that, you base on that in order to create new practices. So, an event, a phenomena, a kind of event, A, happened like that. Somebody said that it's suffering. But somebody said that, no, it's not suffering. It's occasion for me to learn. There are those who said that, oh, be born in this world is suffering. It's better not to be born. Why I have become to be born in this world? And then, but you suffer. But there are those who say that, no, to be born is a great occasion for me to witness all these wonderful manifestation of life. And so to be born, people suffer. Some to be born, other people is happy. It's because it's a way you value things around you. For instance, a vegetarian. And then, why you are vegetarian? Why you condemn yourself not to eat meat and fish and so on? But we are vegetarian, we are so happy. We don't see every living being suffer because of our eating. We don't see a fish kill. We don't see a pig kill, ox kill for us to eat. And so we are so happy. Our food is so healthy, so good. So it's so that vegetarian is happy. Or suffering, it depends on your view. So if you have right view, you are happy right away. And at least you have some so-called suffering. Thanks to right view, you suffer much less. So in the teaching on ethics, as a teacher, you have to speak about meta-ethics. It means Chankyang, right view. And right view, in order to have right view, you need to have right thinking. Tư duy, right thinking. And you think in the way, you think in the way that is transform you, heal you. And so you have a view of blaming, of punishing, that is destroying you. That can lead you to violence, to kill people, or to kill yourself. And that is a heretic view, wrong thinking. And so wrong thinking and right thinking is a way you think in the way that there is no discrimination, no blaming, thinking in the way of exclusiveness. Where there is compassion, there is tolerance, that letting go, forgiveness, so that thinking is healing to you, and then you start to heal yourself. You heal people around you, and you heal the world. And then if you can have right thinking, because you have right view, and right view, and right view is the result of jhana. Jhana, it means looking deeply. Jhana is mean stopping to be disturbed, to be dispersed, to have more concentration, to look deeper, and you have deep vision. So deep vision is you have to practice in every walk of life. You need your deep vision. So this New Year, Vietnamese New Year, we have two parallel. In Vietnamese tradition, you have two parallel. One sentence have opposite to other sentence, like an answering to other sentence. So the first sentence is Luing Yi in the net of doubt, the net of confusion is destroyed. Nghi in Vietnamese, literally we translate by doubt, but sometimes it's because you don't see the truth. So people, correctly translate, it will be delusion or confusion. And because of that delusion, that confusion, that you are locked inside, and that confusion is not only one layer, but this thousand of layer of confusion. So thousand of layer of delusion, of confusion, I am determined to tear it, to tear it, to destroy it, to remove it. Because this world suffers a lot. Only we who are correct, all the people, and they are terrorists. They are terrorists. We have to kill them all. But we don't look at ourselves. We are a kind of terrorist too. So we have to destroy all the confusion, delusion, and we do not destroy all this confusion by weapons, but by your deep look, by meditation. And in order to have deep look, deep vision, you need to train yourself to be more peaceful, not to be dispersed, dwell in the present moment, cut on the dispersion, and step by step, you go in the direction of less dispersed, more concentration, you have a deeper vision, and thanks to the deep vision, you understand, you let go, you forgive, you include, you inclusive, you become inclusive. That is the first sentence. The second sentence opposite, but answering to that. The torch of wisdom, the torch of wisdom, light everywhere. The second sentence, the torch of wisdom, light everywhere. When you break on the confusion, and then the torch of wisdom exhibit everywhere. So there is one sutra the Buddha asked. Somebody asked, disciple asked the Buddha, can you tell me about right view? And the Buddha said that the right view is you transcend the notion about being and non-being, about birth and death, about left, right. You practice a non-duality view. Non-duality view, non-dualistic view. Existent or non-existent, birth and death. It means you see them in extreme way. Extreme way is he is wrong and you are right. But you say that you are co-responsible, so you are non-dualistic. You say that everyone play a part of that event to make both suffer. And everyone have to play a part in order to make both better. So when you have the notion about birth, and you say that in your head, very extremely, you think that it's only birth and nothing death. But when you see something die, and you see that everything die, but you must look deeper and you know to say that birth, the birth of a lot of thousands of cells need to the death of thousands, hundreds of thousands of cells too. And so there is birth, there is death, there is coming, there is... So all these things lead you to a view. That view is the ground of your action. On the non-dualistic view lead you to a ground of action who make you in peace. And then the Buddha asked you, try to look. The suffering is born or die, and it's coming or going. And so when you look deep into the suffering, and you say that, oh, suffering is manifest when there is condition like that manifest, come together and then suffering. But when all these conditions disappear and then the suffering disappear, so suffering is not born, does not die, do not come in, do not going. We only need to remove all these conditions. So when we see that there is so many conditions who lead to that suffering, and then you understand, and then you let go gently, freely, happily. But if you said that is because of him, because of her, and you point out them, and then that is talking, it's an heretic view, it's a wrong view, it's an illusory view, and that is make you suffer, and people around you continue to suffer by that view because you spread your wrong view to everywhere, and you make you suffer, you make everyone suffer. So every one of us, we think that we have our own suffering, our own difficulties. But if you look deeper, what you call suffering, is that true? Oh, it's not that true. It's not that suffering at all. That what we are searching for. We are searching for that. Are you sure that it's a searching for that? Is that you are searching for happiness? Are you sure that it's that for happiness? That what you dream. Not sure that it's a dream. It's not happiness. You dream for happiness. You say that if I obtain that, I will be happy. It's not sure. So, right view is a deeper look and to consider many conditions coming together. Can we study now the sutra of Yogarabhumi Sastra? That is kind of Gyatha on the absolute truth. And then we are learning at the Gyatha number 28, but Thay asked, have us learned the 29 or not? 29? I don't know. Thay want us to study the 29 Gyatha, relying on the ripening of seed. The view of self arises. At that point, there is a recognition of an inner knower, which is formless and invisible. Relying on the ripening of seed, the word yi to, it means ripening different time. There is a fruit to ripe in 2 weeks, a fruit to ripe in 1 month, and different time of ripening. So yito, because of the difference on the ripening of seed, and then we have that view on ourself arise, and that point there is a recognition of Noah. So the English term of Jito is Vipaka. I mean, different time of ripening of a seed. Seed means an experience you have in the past, and then in 2 months, and then you are is proud, and then you are angry, or in three years only is bring out. It depends on time, space, other condition. So the time of ripening is different. In Buddhism, we speak about tamthuk. Tamthuk is consciousness. And in the consciousness, it means the lower part, the deeper part of our mind. There are many seed, many living experience of our ancestor and ourselves condensed in form of seed. Seed of fear, seed of craving, seed of despair, seed of... They exist in our store consciousness, own kind of seed. We have also seed of love, of understanding, of inclusiveness, of tolerance, of mindfulness, of concentration, of division. We have all the good seed and all the negative bad seed. So that is why we call our store consciousness is a storage of own kind of seed, the good as well as the bad. Like now, no one of us is angry. So we think that we have no seed of anger, not true. If somebody come and says one sentence, I'm not angry, but you are angry, because it's provoked some condition in your store consciousness, it's provoked that seed of anger in you. But in my store consciousness, even I have anger, but the sentence of that person do not teach a number of seed nearby. It make me my anger not spring out like yours. So it depends on we have every kind of seed, good, bad, and so our store consciousness have the ability to preserve, to hold all the seed. No seed are leaked and lost. So that storage we call Alaya Vishnana. Alaya is mean the storage. It's a deep part of our consciousness. And you store what? You store all the living experience of yourself when you are a fetus until now, all the living experience of your ancestor, previous generation of your ancestor, condense into kind of seed, and this seed stay store in your consciousness. And so they call sarva. Sarva mean all. Bijaka, bija is seed. So in our store consciousness, we can call them also sarva bijaka. So the totality of all kind of seed, the good, the bad, the neutral, everything. So Alaya is also Sarva Bishaka. And so the storage have two tang. It's storage. It is three meaning. The first one is the caring of store. That is one meaning. But that tang mean also they ask, you store what? You store on this seed. But tang here is also the contents of what. And then the ability to store and the object to be stored. So in that your consciousness there is, you are the contents of the storage, but you have also the storage itself. So there is like a hole. So nang tang, it means so like a Behind is the totality of all the beings, self, and then so the and the third meaning is ngã chấp tàn. It means you whole like a self, and like the object of your love, object of your appreciation, and then you become a kind of a self, and that is a wrong perception. You don't have a separate self, but you have a soul because you store a lot. And you feel that is yourself. And this yourself, and more you are holding that, more the self become an ego, and a big ego. And so that Bija Savaka, they said that is the contents of the storage, and the storage itself. And then the third one is because you hold your storage, and then you are so sure that it's yours. And so you are a free person, and then you come to that person, and that person says, you belong to me, and then you are a slave to that person. You, it means a bija, it means the storage, the things which store, and then the holding so tight, it's become a kind of ego. Yeah. So yitov, it means a different time of ripening. So in your store consciousness, there is many seeds, but there are seeds who are ripe earlier, those who are ripe less, later, and so the storage is like in a hard disk of your computer. So you have to hold everything in the storage. That is a good hard drive who contain everything. What is different is the data you keep in the hard drive is immobile, but in your store consciousness is very alive. It changes every moment. When you receive a good seed, and then it touch the bad seed, and it transforms the bad seed, and it's then you receive other good seed, and while the neutral seed is become very good seed, or you receive a bad seed, bad experience of people around, and while the neutral seed of you is you become a bad person. And so, because in your store consciousness is different from the hard disk of a computer, because the hard disk of the computer is immobile, here is alive. It change. So like it's also the orange. When it's small, orange is green. But when it's grow, it become yellow, it become orange. So the ripening of our seeds are like that. At the beginning, it's like the tiny green orange. But slowly it's become yellow and orange. And it's become sour at the beginning and become sweet later. So we too, the seed we receive from our environment, ancestor, at the beginning could be sour. But thanks to the other seed coming, helping you to have a right view, and then you become sweeter, you understand better, and you embrace everything, you let go on the agitation which destroy you, and so you become another person. And so that is yi to. It means that the ripening different is ripe, not ripe yet, so you become very agitated, you're not kind, but tends to other condition who come, is ripe later, and you become more thoughtful. You and your sister, your brother receive the same seed of the environment, but the ripening is different because you are ripening with other condition of the practice. Your sister or brother ripening in other condition of her life or his life. And then we become two different person. It depends on the ripening of our seed and the environment coming. So, darsana is a view. So the kien is translate from the word darsana, but not from the word drishti. Akma drishti is also the notion on self. And so Dhamma Drishti is the wrong perception on yourself, the wrong view on self. Akma Drishti is wrong view on self. Akma Darsana is a view on yourself. It's not a wrong view on yourself. But that you also translate by view, but this view is a subjective view, opposite to the objective view. So when you have Atma, Nimitta is the object of your view. The subject of your view and object of your view. In Buddhist psychology, every seed, every mental formation, when it's manifest, there is always two parts, the subjective part and the objective part. For instance, our anger. Our anger, and so we have the object and the subject and the object. When you are angry, you have to be angry of what? You cannot be angry vaguely, totally. When you are angry, you must be angry at my sister, my brother. I'm angry at the sky, at God, at the Buddha, etc. This means you have to be angry of what? And so, what is the object of your anger? And so, objective part of your anger, and your anger is a subjective part. So, subject and object are manifesting in the same time. That is according to the Buddha. And object and subject manifest in the same time. And it lasts only one shatna. Shatna is 1,000 times of a second. 1,000 smallest part of 1,000. Very short period of time. And it manifests like that. It disappears like right away. Like when we walk, we see a deer crossing the road or somewhere. So you have a look about the deer. So the subject and the object born at the same time. Your eyes touch the deer and then it's become and you have a view of a deer. And so you have the view of the deer and that view can last 3 months, 3 seconds. And so 3 seconds is because a kind of cinematography. It means you see that deer and the deer is walking, another image, walking a little bit far, and another image like cinematographic. And so every mental formation who exists in your stored consciousness, when it's manifest, they will manifest always in two parts, subject and object. Kiang is a view, but we translate here is darsana. Darsana bhaga and nimitta bhaga. So every mental formation are every consciousness, you always have there is always subject and object, and they manifest in the same time. Object and subject manifest in the same time, like this marker have left and right. Left exists, manifests in the same time that right. Yeah, so object and subject manifest in the same time. In the West, people, there is when philosopher philosophy of phenomenology, and they also say that when you are conscious, you have to have conscious of what? You have to be conscious of something. You cannot be conscious. That's all. Conscience shortly. So we must be conscious of what? So darsana is also, is not a wrong view, but that is just a view where there is object and subject. Like the object is a deer and subject is you and your consciousness. And when you look at the deer, and then the image of the deer and the base of your eyes come together, and then you have that look, that view. So when the view is correct, it's not heretic view. So when you read Ngã Kiến here, it's not the not a wrong view, but it's a correct view, or that a view not correct or not incorrect, just a neutral view like that. And because it's a neutral view like that, because there is other condition nearby who make that neutral become good, or make that neutral view to become bad. Because some suffering, some habit energy, which cause you to have the illusory perception that you have a separate self, and that ego is hurt, appreciate, and you have a big ego. You are so proud, so powerful, and so good. So that is a training, wrong training, for us to see that we have a separate self. In each of us, we have a many kind of seed and many kind of habits, energy. There is a tendency to go away of suffering. It's the natural tendency that to run away of suffering. That's normal. But when it's not pleasant, when things is not pleasant, you try to run away, you try to escape. When you say something suffering, and you don't want to be in touch with that suffering, and then you run away by opening the music, or opening the TV, or drink some alcohol, or smoke, that is a habit. It's not very pleasant habit, not very nutritious habit. So the practice here is you have to be aware, to be present with that uneasiness. You have to be present. You have to breathe. Why I feel very uneasy? Why? And you look deep. And you look deep. Because of that. So that is a practitioner. Do not run away from the unpleasant things, but they have to be present with, in order to look deep, in order to learn from that. And so the practitioner should not run away. The second habit, negative habit, is try to find pleasant thing. The search for pleasure, search for pleasure. That is natural. But we do not look into that pleasure. That pleasure could be very healthy, it's okay. But like that pleasure, if you look deep and you say that, oh, that may lead to that, may lead to that, may lead to that. And then you say that, oh, when you are present to that pleasure in a profound way like that, you say that, no, it's not a good pleasure. I better let it go and avoid it. So the third one is you cannot see clearly the necessity of the suffering, the importance present of suffering may help us to grow or to something. It's when that tendency is avoid. That is one of the heretic view. And so you only want lotus, you don't want mud. But without mud, how we can have lotuses? And we throw away all the mud, how we can have lotuses? And those who practice well, they said that your suffering is come from your difficulty. And your happiness can be produced thanks to your difficulties. Because if you look deep into the difficulties, you learn from that experience, you become a much better, happier person. But we do not ignore our suffering. We learn, we look deeply from our suffering in order to learn the lesson and so to enjoy happiness later. We don't know how to use the difficulties, the suffering to make your happiness. You only avoid, you only swear, throw it away. But we need to learn from that, look deeper. What causes to bring to that suffering and how we can handle another change. You cannot see. The danger of the pleasure. You have pleasant feeling, fine, but you need to look deep to see if it's dangerous or healthy pleasure. If a healthy pleasure is okay, but if you look deep, you say that it's dangerous, and so. But the weakness of the negative habit is you ignore totally the danger of the habit. So like when the fishman throw a bait and it's very, very dangerous, it smell good, but in fact it's not a real food for the fish. And when the fish feel very, very, very attractive, and then they try to eat, and then the fish is hooked by that, and it's too late. So sometimes it's that drug is so appealing. That drug is so appealing. That pleasure of sex is so, so exciting, and you ignore that after you use it, you are hooked, and then you cannot. It's too late. So the third characteristic is you cannot understand, you cannot see clear. The principle of you do not see the principle of moderation. Moderation. We ignore the law of moderation. It's so delicious. Then you continue to enjoy. And after that, you receive all the fruit of suffering. Even healthy food, but you have to be moderate too. Even healthy food, you have to be moderate too. So, these cases, there's many kind of energy like that in us, and that is why we search for, and then we are caught in this habit. And that view about ourselves, is a wrong view that we have a separate self. It is silently hidden inside of us, but we feel, we can feel, even we cannot see it, but we can feel if we are mindful. Arupa. Rupa is we cannot see. Arupa. Those who do not practice. Ordinary people who do not practice. Unwise. And so sure that is ourself. That is ourself. So when we have that self already, that view about you have a separate self, very important, an ego. And based on that view of a separate self, you create quite a lot of wrong perception. You have a lot of wrong view. Atma Darsana, that is a wrong view about yourself. Based on this view of self, many wrong views arise. Many wrong views arise because on the seat of self, separate self, because that you have that view that you have a separate self. And we try to be attached to on the seat called ourself. And all habit in the past come together. So the habit in the past of a separate self, they come. What we hear, what we have seen is and so it's lead to Atma Darsana. We have to remember that Nga Kien is Atma Darsana, is not Atma Drishti. Atma Drishti is wrong. Wrong view. Because of the grasping to the seat of self, because of the grasping of the seat of the self, sneha, have been born because we hold the habit to hold a separate self, and then we there are manifestation of many other craving, the longing to pleasure. The craving is born from the condition of the separate self that we have seen. And then because of that craving and on the condition which lead you to that, it may lead to the separate self. And so you hold on the craving, you continue to hold, to crave, to aspire, to have on these things. The craving is born, tends to the on the condition of separate self inside, and then that's why you run after the happiness outside of yourself. What is most skillful in the world is the ignorance inside. Because of ignorance that you are so sure that you have that separate self and you suffer. I discover this lack of when you type, lack of sentence when you type here. Yeah. In the text, in life, what is the more skillful way, things that you must be afraid is that is because of ignorance that you run into, you run and try to satisfy that separate self. At the beginning, because of the notion about there is a self, and then you are caught in the notion of a separate self, which make you suffer and people make you suffer and so on. That storage, that hard disk, have three meanings. The first one is the capacity to store, the contents of the storage. Because of on this speculation, metaphysical speculation, that we suffer. Because you have that separate self, and then you ask the question, I am or I am not? And in the past, I was like that, and then, do I exist before I am? And when this body disintegrates, do I continue to be? So on this, even everyone know that we exist here. And all the philosopher try to offer an answer. And so philosopher Descartes said that, yes, existence become I'm thinking. And so that is what Descartes, French philosopher Descartes, have said. And so all these not necessary philosophical reasoning, like in the past, when I pass, after I die, I exist or I do not exist, or I in the same time exist and non-existing. And then we lose a lot of time of all these philosophical questions. The Buddha never answered or this question. He said that that is a speculation on metaphysics. He have no time for that. He only teach us how to get out of our suffering. And then we see that Asanga, who write these gathas, have tried to explain about Buddhist psychology already. His thought. Asanga was a Theravadin at the beginning, and then he start to see the teaching of no self of the Nagarjuna, and now he start to see something in order to help us to get out of our difficulty in psychology, and this Buddhist psychology, very deep psychology of the gathas. This morning we sit, you practice sitting meditation, and then we evoke the name Namo Shakyamuni Buddha instead of Bukh Thitka in Vietnamese. I wish that we recite in Sanskrit so that this will be universal for every country. We should not be late at the sitting meditation. According to the rule of sitting meditation, you should not go late. If you cannot be in time for sitting meditation, we should not be late. And it's unkind to the Sangha. And before entering into the sitting meditation, we should be very silent. We go in, we talk a lot. It's not very correct way of sitting meditation, so that people will enjoy the atmosphere of peace of the meditation hall. But you go in and you agitate and you talk and you ask. That is not very kind to others. Please, CTC, Catechin Council, is not too noisy before sitting meditation. And those who arrive late, try not to enter. You go back when it's finished. That is the happiness of people. When you sit down, you are happy. And then when you sit down, you enjoy the quietness. But people go back late and they make noise in the door and so on. That is not very kind to friends.